From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOA listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voanews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and Japan seek to strengthen trade and economic ties. Minister Andi Amran affirms countries are withholding export to maintain food stability. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan met with Japan's Minister of Economy, Trade and Industry, Yasutoshi Nishimura, in Osaka, Japan on Saturday, to discuss efforts in a bid to strengthen trade and economic ties, including how Indonesia gains processed fish market access to Japan in win-win cooperation. In a written statement received by Antara on Sunday, Minister Hasan noted that easier access to the Japanese market will help bolster the competitiveness of Indonesia's fishery products, as well as facilitate Japan's investment in Indonesia fishery sector. According to the statement, both made the most of their bilateral meeting to intensify cooperation in trade and economic activities, including by finalizing the protocol amending of the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement, IGEPA. He was optimistic that the protocol would be ready to ink at the commemorative summit for the 50th year of Asian-Japan Friendship and Cooperation in Tokyo, Japan, on December 16 to 18. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman said an event by Hasanuddin University Alumni Association in Makassar, Sulawesi, that the current food and energy crisis are also influenced by many countries withholding their export to maintain their own country's food stability. As he said in a statement received by Antara on Sunday, Indonesia should maintain its food security because a food crisis might turn into a political crisis. He also explained that the El Nino weather phenomenon has caused a long drought that affected agricultural production. However, recent rainfall in some Indonesian regions is expected to boost productions, especially rice. His side is preparing for the planting season that falls between October and March, with a production target of 1.5 million tons of rice. In addition, he promised to improve fertilizer management so that farmers can increase food crop productivity. Indonesia is experiencing a digital economy boom, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno said at the Asian Creative and Digital Economy Youth Summit in Indonesia Indah Miniature Park, Jakarta on Sunday. He also said that Indonesia is probably an ASEAN tiger that is growing rapidly in creative and digital economy ecosystems. Based on the study by Google, Temasek and Bain & Company, Indonesia's digital economy in 2022 was expected to reach $77 billion, or grow 22% from 2021, and is expected to double in 2025. Much of that growth has been driven by e-commerce, but more subsectors, such as the game, music, film, and animation industries, have shifted to the digital realm, therefore contributing to the digital economy. Meanwhile, the growth of e-commerce gross merchandise values, or GMV, in Indonesia is estimated to increase from $59 billion in 2022 to $95 billion in 2025. Therefore, he expected Indonesia's digital economy as a whole to reach $400 billion in 2038. Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, or PNG, have agreed to verify the citizenship status of 300 border crossers from PNG who have been living in Yabanda village, Yafi district, Kirom Regency, Papua, for many years. The verification of citizenship was recommended by the Indonesia-PNG border liaison meeting held in Vanimo, PNG, on October 24 to 26. The first assistance for the Papua Provincial Government Regional Secretary Susanna Wangai told Antara on Saturday, she said, to this end, the Council General of PNG in Jayapura, Jeffrey Alwiri, led the joint verification process on Friday, during which the border crossers would be asked to decide whether to hold Indonesian citizenship or to maintain their PNG citizenship status. The PNG settlers have lived for years in Yabanda village near the two countries' border, and Wangai said that many of their children have even gone to Indonesian schools. According to the information she received, the border crossers remain willing to live in Yabanda village considering their children's education. Let's move on to the international news, where the United States and South Korea began major air exercises on Monday, involving 130 warplanes from both countries to simulate 24 hours wartime operation. As reported by Reuters, South Korea's Air Force said that the annual drills called Vigilant Defense will run until Friday, featuring variants of the F-35 stealth fighter from both countries, among others, aircraft. The drills are aimed at improving interoperability between the two militaries by performing major air missions. In a statement, South Korea's military said that they will maintain the best combat readiness to immediately respond to and strongly punish any provocation through intense training. The drills come as North Korea has been stepping up military cooperation with Russia in what the United States and its ASEAN allies have condemned as Pyongyang's efforts to advance its military capabilities in return for arms support to Moscow. North Korea itself has long condemned joint drills between the United States and South Korea as a rehearsal for invasion and proof of hostile policies by Washington and Seoul. Hundreds of anti-Israel protesters stormed an airport in Russia's predominantly Muslim region, Dagestan, on Sunday, where a plane from Israel had just arrived, forcing security forces to close the airport and remove the demonstrators. Quoted from Reuters, local authorities said 20 people were injured before forces contained the protests at Makachakla Airport. However, the passengers on the plane were safe. The unrest followed several other anti-Israel incidents in the North Caucasus region, sparked by Israel's war against Hamas militants in Gaza, Palestine. Videos from Makachakla Airport showed the protesters waving Palestinian flags, breaking down glass doors and running through the airport, while another tried to topple over a patrol truck. The Russian Aviation Authority closed the airport until it completed security checks. There were no immediate reports of arrests, but Russia's Federal Investigations Agency ordered a criminal probe into the incident. A 22-year-old suspect has been arrested and charged with second-degree murder on Sunday evening in a shooting on a crowded street in Tampa, Florida, United States, earlier in the morning, leaving two people dead and 16 others injured. Authorities said, as reported by CNN, the shooting started after a dispute between two groups broke out as hundreds of people were filling out of the bars and nightclubs in Tampa's Ybor City neighborhood just before 3 a.m. A 14-year-old boy and a 22-year-old man were killed, Tampa Police Chief Lee Bershaw said. He said that of the 16 people injured, 15 were shot and one person had other serious injuries. They were triggered at the scene and transported by Tampa Fire Rescue to nearby hospital. The statement said that many of them, who range in age from 18 to 27 years old, have been released from the hospital, while five still remain in the hospital. Police say two handguns were recovered at the scene, one of which was stolen, and they are looking into whether other shooters were involved. Well, listener, now let's move on to our commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on China tightens internet for underage children. I'm Dalat Pani. The latest regulation in China, which tightens the use of internet for underage children, will be applied on January 1, 2024. This is expected to bring many benefits in the short term, and the habits of users can change over time. The regulation is Beijing's effort to tackle internet addictions among underage children, including Thai regulation on video games. According to the Chinese Internet Network Information Center, the number of internet users under 18 years old in 2021 was more than 191 million. The analysts predicted that the new regulations' impact on local big tech companies will be limited to the short term, but can reduce the number of users along with time. Internet limitation for children under 18 aims to open a conducive cyberspace for physical and mental health while protecting their rights and interests. According to the government, this is the responsibility of smart device makers and cellular service providers in China, as well as the regional government, education institution, and parents. Meanwhile, in Indonesia, the study conducted by the Child Growth Deputy at the Women Empowerment and Child Protection Ministry in 2016 revealed that 70% of children were found to bring smartphones to school. From the number, some 61% among them were using gadgets for chatting and online games, 29% for browsing class-related info, and 10% for communication with parents or friends. Gadget addiction on children can cause some issues, starting from physical to social. Alternative activities are needed so children can be distracted from gadget addiction, for it is affecting children's mentality and emotion. To protect the children from gadget addiction, it needs parents' role, like limiting the time of use. Hopefully, parents and stakeholders can protect the next generation from the bad influence of the internet. That was commentary.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today's history with an event on October 30, 1910, when Henry Dunant passed away. Jean-Henri Dunant, or Henry Dunant, was a Swiss businessman and social activist, also known as the founding father of the International Committee of the Red Cross. He died on October 30, 1910. In 1901, Henry Dunant received Nobel Peace Prize for his role in founding the International Red Cross movement and initiating the Geneva Convention. Let's move on to October 30, 1946, when uang of the Republic of Indonesia began to circulate. Uang Republik Indonesia, or ORI, was the first currency owned by the Republic of Indonesia after independence. The government considered it necessary to issue its own money, which not only served as legal tender, but also as the main symbol of an independent state. Officially circulated on October 30, 1946, ORI appeared in the form of a 1 cent banknote with an image of an unsheeted kris and a back image of the text of the 1945 Constitution. ORI was signed by Minister of Finance A.A. Maramis. On that day, it was also declared that Japanese money and Jafash bank money was no longer valid. We end today in history with an event on October 30, 1960, when Maradona was born. Diego Armando Maradona, also known as Maradona, was born on October 30, 1960. Maradona, regarded as one of the greatest football players in the world, along with Pele, and became a football legend. After his brilliant performance in Mexico, Maradona became more famous because of his success in bringing Argentina to the 1986 World Cup champion.
Andai aku bisa memutar waktu, aku tak ingin mengenalmu. Mengapa ada pertemuan itu yang membuat aku mencintai? Bagaimana kalau aku tidak baik-baik saja, terus mengingatmu, memikirkanmu, semua tentang dirimu. Bagaimana kalau aku tidak baik-baik saja, tak seperti kamu yang mampu tanpa. Mungkin kini kau bersama yang lain, walau hatimu untukku. Adakah
buat selama ini. Kamu jangan kangen sama aku.
Bagaimana?
Kamu baik-baik ya di sini. Semoga nanti kita bisa ketemu lagi.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian Minister of Trade and the Director General of WTO and the Secretary General of OECD meeting. The Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan attended the G7 Trade Ministers meeting, which was held on October 28th and 29th in Osaka, Japan. The Minister of Trade took part in an outreach session, namely a discussion session between G7 member countries, strategic partner countries, and international organizations, which raised the theme of increasing global supply chain resilience. He also attended a working dinner session, which focused on the relationship between the trade sector and sustainability aspects. Quoting the official website of the Ministry of Trade, apart from attending meetings with ministers of trade partner countries, Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan also met Director General of the World Trade Organization, WTO, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, on Saturday, October the 28th. During the meeting, Minister Zulkifli Hasan again emphasized the importance of WTO reform, which had been discussed in 2017. This is in view of the WTO's strategic role in facing global challenges in the trade sector, especially crises caused by global geopolitical dynamics. Indonesia's main priority is the issue of dispute resolution reform, which has been ongoing since April 2022 until now. Meanwhile, in the meeting with the Secretary General of the International Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, Matthias Korman, on Saturday, Minister Zulkifli Hasan hoped for support so that Indonesia's accession process to the OECD runs well and quickly. Indonesia views that OECD membership should be more inclusive by involving more developing countries. He added that in the trade sector, Indonesia's membership in the OECD is expected to further encourage improvements in the quality of trade policies. Meanwhile, the OECD will benefit from Indonesia's membership as a representative of the global south and emerging economies. Indonesia has conveyed its intention to become an OECD member to the Secretary General. Several OECD member countries, such as Japan, Chile, England, Norway, Australia, the United States, and France, expressed positive responses and supported Indonesia's accession plans. That was My Indonesia Today.
Soal sempurna, namun yang
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOA listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Olele Marine Park, which is located in Olele Village, Kabila Bone District, Bone Bolango Regency, Gorontalo, Sulawesi Island, Indonesia. The distance from Gorontalo city center to this marine park is around 20 km, and the time needed to the park is about 30 to 45 minutes. This destination can be reached by two-wheeled or four-wheeled vehicles via a winding road on the edge of the hill. Olele Beach, which has white sands, is very close to residential areas. However, it doesn't pollute the surrounding waters. This proves that local residents still care and understand the enormous potential of the wealth that exists in their area. Colorful corals in various shapes will welcome anyone who tries to dive into the waters of Olele Marine Park. This place is very suitable for snorkeling. Since it is in a bay, Tomini Bay, the waters are quite calm. Olele Marine Park has several diving spots with different characteristics. For example, Gin Cave, Traffic Circle, Honeycombed, and Mock Dive. In this marine park, there are endemic corals that cannot be found in other waters. One of them is Salvador Dali coral or Salvador Dali sponge. This sponge is popularly known as the Salvador Dali sponge in local and international conservation circles. The name Salvador Dali is taken from the name of the Spanish painter Salvador Dali, because the hollow and curved shape of the sponge carvings resembles his work entitled L'Enigma del Desiderio. Listener, there is no need to bring diving equipment because you can rent it on site, specifically in the area around Olele Beach. This beach is also the starting point for departure before boarding a boat to the dive location. Visitor can rent the diving equipment that usually in one package with the boat as well as photo and video documentation. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto, which means traveling in Sawah Lunto. So stay tuned. I'm going to introduce to you some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of today. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Kain, kain, which means cloth. Biru, biru, which means blue. Lebih halus, which means softer. Daripada, daripada, which means than. Merah, merah, which means red. Kain yang biru lebih halus daripada yang merah. Kain yang biru lebih halus daripada yang merah. Which means the blue cloth is softer than the red one. Membeli, membeli, which means buy. Oleh, 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 which means souvenir. Ibu, ibu, which means mother. Lebih baik, lebih baik, which means better. The sentence kain yang biru lebih halus daripada yang merah, kain yang biru lebih halus daripada yang merah, which means the blue cloth is softer than the red one, is a comparison. Comparison between the songket or woven cloth texture, which is softer. To compare two things, between the word lebih, lebih, which means more, and daripada, daripada, which means then, you can use a character, a nature, like halus, halus, which means soft. Let's listen to the other examples of comparison between two things in other sentences. Kamus lebih tebal daripada buku tulis. Kamus lebih tebal daripada buku tulis. Which means a dictionary is thicker than a written book. Kue tar lebih mahal daripada kue bolu. Kue tar lebih mahal daripada kue bolu. Which means tart cake is more expensive than bolu cake. Songket silungkang or silungkang woven cloth is one of traditional woven cloth from West Sumatra province. People say the name silungkang comes from the name of a district in Sawah Lunto city, where the songket woven cloth is made. The motif of Silungkang Songket woven cloth is in the form of plants, fruits, and objects around the house. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Di tempat ini, di tempat pertama aku menemukanmu. Kembali ku datangi tempat ini, tapi ku dengan yang lain.
Samar ku dengar suara yang selalu itu suaramu. Kau terlihat bahagia bersamanya, dia kekasihmu yang baru.
Aku pun terdiam saat gadis kecil berlari ke arahmu. Gadis kecil yang miliki mata indah, persis seperti matamu. Aku pun tersenyum dan ku genggam tangan wanita di sampingku. And
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Lamunan Kalbu by the group keroncong Sorlem. The song was composed by Sapari W.S. Nardi and popularized by Rafika Duri, a legendary Indonesian female singer. Lamunan Kalbu, which means Heart Day Dreaming, is in the album with the same title, which was released in 1980. The song tells about someone who is longing for another person. On a quiet beach, accompanied by the sound of breaking waves, she sits alone while reminiscing about the past, when she sits with the love of her heart. Well, listener, here is Rafika Duri with the song Lamunan Kalbu. Happy listening!
Sayang lampau. tanah air bertitik sepanjang masa.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.